Dear friends, a few months back, I had the pleasure of speaking to a writers' conference in the Boston area. It was actually mystery writers, and I love mysteries, and I love mystery writers. And I met one who's delightful. Her name is Joy Ash. And she told me about a book she was working on and sent it to me, and I read it. And it's very, very interesting. It's a mystery, but it also has a lot to do with what's happening in science and in current events. It's called Gene Defense. That's G-E-N-E, Gene Defense, a fictional genetic thriller by the aforementioned Joy Ash. Hi, Joy.
Well, good morning, Jordan. How are you?
I'm quite well. Thank you very much. So you're writing a book that takes place in just a few years from now, say within the next 3 or 4 years, right?
That's right. It's the post-presidential election of 2012. It takes place in the year 2013.
Okay, so a lot of the stuff that you're writing about in this mystery, and we'll explain what the gene defense part of it is, has to do with today's politics and some legislation affecting healthcare and a whole bunch of stuff.
That's right. That's right. You know, what I actually tried to do was combine three genres. It is indeed a mystery, but it's also suspense and thriller. And I wanted to sweep the reader into 2013 post the implementation of the healthcare situation there, where all of our fate depends on our DNA, our genetic history. And I combined the discovery or the potential discovery of a criminal gene with what happens when you have an overarching federal government.
How close to that kind of thing are we? Because you've done a lot of research on this. We all know about the genome mapping and DNA testing, and certainly we've come a long way. But how close are we to determining that kind of thing, whether somebody could be a criminal?
Well, interesting enough, there have been scientific studies about that, and one in particular concluded that one out of three Western men have a predisposition for a warrior gene. And there have actually been cases that took a different stance than it, since you read the book, you know that I took with Gene Defense, actually having people get off with lesser sentences because of their genetic makeup.
Right.
I twisted that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm talking with Joy Ash, that's A-S-H-E, a writer who's brought us now Gene Defense. It's a fictional genetic thriller. You are very wary of this kind of technology and this kind of potential legislation. And has the passage of the healthcare legislation that's, of course, in the courts right now, and it's very controversial, has that even made you more wary?
Yes, it sure has. You know, I started writing the book 4 years ago, as I mentioned to you offline, and so that it, prior to any discussion, accelerated discussion about healthcare, and I was growing concerned about certain government intrusions. But when you ask, you know, in the year 2000, the Human Genome Project came about, so we discovered much more about our human genetic code, and there were employers that were looking towards discriminating against people based on their DNA. So they DNA tested, so it wasn't simply a DNA test for criminals, but employers, hospitals, healthcare institutions.
Right, right. And it was also checking for, and it has been, checking for someone's predetermination to, say, certain diseases. So
right.
Why would you want to employ someone who might be have a predilection for, say, cancer or heart disease?
Exactly. Exactly. Actually, though, October 14th of 2010, Jordan, there was the first, the U.S. actually implemented the first genetic anti-discrimination legislation, and that actually, I believe, was by a unanimous Senate vote.
I do recall
but that
it.
Doesn't mean it couldn't reopen, you know, this this kind of thing.
Well, it's a very interesting story you weave here, and it involves a murder. It involves the sister of the accused coming to her defense because she's an attorney,
right.
And there's a lot of subterfuge. It also all the way to the top ends of the spectrum. One interesting thing is this is fiction. You don't have the current occupant of the White House winning re-election. You have a new president, and has any of your thought process changed in that regard?
You know, interesting enough, that may or may not be true, because I don't want to give away my story, but I don't actually identify that candidate in 2012.
Oh.
I don't actually say that that happens. I walk a very fine line, and I made absolutely certain I didn't depict a particular political party or name the gender.
Well, you got me then, because it's good. That's what you wanted to do. And now you tell me that, oh, that makes it even more interesting. But
left that open.
but it makes a lot of difference, obviously, to our story, not just yours, but to the world's story.
Right.
Because right now the healthcare bill is under attack, and it's in the courts and elsewhere. And, of course, a lot of And I'm just wondering, when you write a story like this, which is a little scary about the future, are we giving the government too much credit in a story like this? Or are we giving Big Brother too much credit? Or is it reasonable to think that they could pull off something like genetic testing and genetic discrimination?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because actually in the 1930s, we implemented 23 states in the country implemented forced sterilizations, where we were defining the ideal human in this country. Mm. And fascinating enough, we were an influence on Hitler's activities, although history, you know, seems to sort of skirt that around. I've documented in the book, I've researched quite a lot about that, but we've actually made those attempts through eugenics before.
And well, look at the testing we did with, say, CIA did on unsuspecting subjects with LSD and stuff. We all know that has gone on.
Exactly.
But on a grand scale, because the government is so inefficient in so many ways, why would this be something we should fear as opposed to other things?
Oh, well, gosh, I think we have a lot to fear, be concerned about. The whole theme is to get the reader to, I want the reader first and foremost, Jordan, to be entertained. I mean, that's the whole concept of the book. I want them to be a little scared. That's the whole concept of the book. But I want them to also think before, you know, we elect, you know, a particular person over another. I'm not trying to influence how somebody votes. I just want somebody to think about it, because I'm not sure everybody that walks into the poll actually thinks that process through.
I think you're right. And good fiction, and this is by Joy Ash called Gene Defense, good fiction makes us think and promote ideas, promote discussion. And that's all good thrillers particularly do that. So there's also other stuff going on here. There's the idea that there would be centers for people to go if they are deemed genetically inferior or whatever. And it sounds just like a certain period of our world history, say the 1930s and 40s. And even though yours is a work of fiction, we do see this around the world. We see it in China. We see it in parts of Africa.
Exactly. Exactly true. And again, it has taken place in this country before. So what is to say history doesn't repeat itself? You know, and depending upon how, you know, we're asleep at the wheel, whatever the political party is, it doesn't matter to me what it is. The bottom line is we're all fallible. And as I'm sure you know, I also was taking a stance on, you know, the old argument of nature versus nurture, you know, good, evil. And, you know, pretty much the conclusion is there's that in each and every one of us.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's fascinating to think that just because one's great-great-great-grandfather or any relative or any ancestor had certain trends, characteristics, and it's then easy to spot in DNA, there's no guarantee, of course, that that's going to transfer into generations beyond. And yet, if you give somebody the law and the power to say it does, look out.
Yeah, I mean, people have preconceived notions about particular things. And, again, you give the power to them. We've given a tremendous amount of power. It's so exciting, on the one hand, Jordan, to know about the Human Genome Project and to recognize more of our genetic code. That's on the one hand. That's great because hopefully that will help us with illnesses, the Alzheimer's I bring up, the Parkinson's and things of this nature. You know, autism, you know, causation and hopefully at some point cure. That's a really wonderful thing. But so, as I, you know, show in the book, and we can read countless thousands of historical pieces and novels throughout the ages, you know, sometimes if you give humans a little bit too much power, they can overexceed that grant.
Right. Just as the case in atomic energy. That's the same issue.
Yes.
Yeah. You have the beauty and the grace and the amazing power of the atom when it's split, and then you have the destructive capabilities as well.
Right.
And it really is incumbent upon us to oversee this very, very carefully. So who's got control of the genetic pool information and all that now? Under what aegis is it?
Well, that's a good question. There is a worldwide organization. So each country does have a participation in that input. And this is another thing. As we merge and acquire, or we are acquired based on our economic strength or lack of our economic strength in the planet, you know, that then also has an influence on what control we may have. You know, which again, it, as you know, in the book, I bring up the concerns of our economy right now, and how that can influence. I don't know if you read about the merger about the New York Stock Exchange. I'm trying to ponder that implication of merging, you know, different countries.
Yeah.
Economies and how that affects our society and decisions that are made over our lives.
Well, it's a very interesting and fun read, and you learn a lot. And of course, Joy's got a very impressive array of facts and figures and an opinion on things that you're going to find interesting in Gene Defense, but she's a good writer, very engaging. That's why you're a member of the Mystery Writers Group, right?
Right.
Come on.
Exactly.
And the best address to find her on the web is her name, Joy Ash, with an E at the end, .com, and the book is available everywhere online, etc. Good luck to you, my dear, and I hope people read it and think about it and get a good scare and have some fun.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much. It's been an honor and a privilege to speak with you. I really appreciate it.
You bet. That's Joy Ash, Gene Defense, a fictional genetic thriller. We'll be back with more straight ahead here on The Jordan Rich Show.